From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we head on into the fall season here very, very shortly. Appreciate you all being with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We'd love to start the show that way. And we're pleased to welcome in by phone, Andrea. Say it for me, Andrea. Arevalo.
Arevalo, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
I worked hard on it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Andrea Arevalo, who is the coordinator of marriage and family life here in the Diocese of Sacramento, a big and important job.
Yes, that is me.
That's you.
Well, that's what I do. Yes.
Well, welcome to the program. You have before we talk about specific events, tell us what, you know, your job encompasses.
So my job mostly is I support and help, you know, the associate director, Moises, who is the director of Family Respect Life. But my main priorities are coordinating the Gabriel Project, which is new to the diocese, and then also natural family planning falls under as one of my major ministries. And then I also help with marriage, so marriage prep and marriage enrichment. And then we also sprinkle throughout all of those the theology of the body, which is one of my specialties as well.
So is theology of the body taught separately, or is that part of a specific workshop?
Theology and body encompasses, you know, marriage and natural family planning and all those. But, it is something that can be used throughout all those ministries, but we are also going to try and offer it separately as far as we're really working on offering it, having it available for the parents to teach it to their children, like getting the word out there for the parents to be knowledgeable in the subject. So we're actually doing once a month meetings for parents to support them so they can purchase the videos, access to the videos online. They work through each chapter with their child, and then at the end of the month, or the third Thursday of the month, we meet with the parents to kind of just assess how it went, support them, see, you know, where things that may have been difficult and they need some more support. They could talk among each other to see what went well, and just kind of support them through talking about and presenting some of the difficult topics with their teens.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are some difficult topics.
Very much so. Yeah. With theology of body, the way it's presented, once they build it, they're really good about building a foundation in teaching the theology behind marriage and love and God's plan and our purpose in life and who we are created to be before we start, you know, diving into those hot topics so the teens can then apply what they learned and then understand more why the church teaches what it teaches on those certain topics, which makes it a little bit easier to do so. So it kind of, you know, builds up to it, so it makes it a little bit easier for the parents and the teens.
Yeah, the why is so important to kids.
Yes. Yes, and it's more of an empowering, you know, I can be this person, and I want to be this person. This is, you know, the greatness I'm called to, instead of just saying, well, you know, you shouldn't do that, and here's why, and this is all the bad things that can happen.
Right, right.
You know, most teens are like, so, you know, I'll try it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have told me bad things might happen. Now I'm going to take a dare. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's more of an empowering message, and, you know, they want to strive to be that person, which I've seen, you know, excellent results in, you know, all the years that I've been teaching it. They're very receptive to it, and they take that challenge. It's a new way of challenging them, and they're like, okay, yeah, I can do that. I'm going to step up and do that instead. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, people say, well, you need to emphasize the positive. Well, with the Catholic faith, it's easy to emphasize the positive. And, you know, marriage, family, love, those are all good things. Those are all things that are very positive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so it's very easy. Before, I think it was more fear instilled. And now it's, all coming out of a place of love, which is, mm-hmm. you know, the church. And so when it's way much more easier to receive because it's more as if it's coming from the inside out, as opposed to being imposed upon us, right? Like the church is putting these rules and boundaries on us. It's more speaking to the desires and wants that we already have. So it comes from within to the, you know, to the outside. So, and so it is very easy, you know, because once you understand that, it's very easy. It's already something that's stamped in us. So it's very easy to be like, oh, yeah, this totally makes sense now.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So you have, tell us about natural family planning. It's one of those areas that critics like to say, well, nobody really, I don't know, buys it, or very few people practice it. It seems, though, that it is gaining traction.
It is. And I think part of the reasons, from what I've been able to witness and observe, is before there was, kind of the bad connotation with natural family planning. It was associated with the old rhythm method that wasn't very effective. And so a lot of people, they're like, that doesn't work. And they had the negative thoughts about it. Well, now the younger generations that are getting married, a lot of them haven't even heard of it. So I see that as a positive in a way, because now at least we have a blank slate, right? A blank canvas that we can build upon instead of having to overcome the hurdle of already, you know, their negative ideas about it. So, and it is gaining more and more headway in today, because it is now a part of marriage prep. So engaged couples are required to take at least a 1-hour introductory session with a certified instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can learn more in detail what it's about in a specific method. So that helps partly. But I think now, because a lot of people are also more health conscious and aware of what they're putting into their bodies. So something like this, a natural way to avoid or achieve a pregnancy, is also very appealing for those type of people as well. So that's also a positive.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing that more and more from young adults and teens, just about, I went to the doctor, not necessarily about pregnancy or anything to do with sex, but just for anything. You know, I went to the doctor, there's a pill for this, there's a pill for that, there's a pill for this, there's a shot for that. You know, it was like, I don't want to put all these things in my body. I'm not talking about the the COVID vaccination. I'm a big supporter of COVID vaccinations, but you know that you know, vaccinations in general, whether it's polio or whooping cough or meningitis, any of those, I think they're all good. But it is there sometimes, I think, and it isn't even over medicated. It's a lot of things. They say, I don't want to put that in my body. That's not good for me. And I think that has created among younger people a receptive audience for things like natural family planning.
Yeah, and there is a difference because, I mean, with vaccinations, it's helping your body to build the antibodies to overcome an illness, whereas with, like, birth control or some of the other pills, it's suppressing what our body's supposed to do naturally, which can lead to unhealthy outcomes. You know, there are, you know, you are at higher risk for breast cancer and different cancers because you're suppressing and not letting your hormones do what they're meant to do, that balance that they're supposed to have naturally. So, you know. So
yeah, you're doing something truly unnatural to your body, no question about it.
Exactly. So that's the difference, where vaccines, they kind of enhance what your body should do naturally, you know, to fight off a disease or to fight off an illness.
Yeah.
But I do think with natural family planning, because now of all the research and science that have gone into providing such, you know, an effective methods, there's multiple methods. I think a lot of people come to us too with that suffer from infertility because, you know, a lot of doctors, all they know how to do, they don't know, they're not taught anything else. My sister-in-law, you know, just finished her residency and we were talking about it. And she says, all they teach you how to do, you know, painful periods or heavy bleeding or some of these things that even teenagers come to, they're only taught to prescribe the birth control pill and nothing else. Whereas with natural family planning, because you're tracking your fertility, we can see, the charts can tell us if something indicates an underlying health condition, and we can not just mask the symptoms of why are you having these such painful periods, or why are you having such heavy bleeding, so we can find the root of the problem and fix it in a more natural and healthy way instead of just masking the symptoms, you know, like putting a Band-Aid over it.
And it's showing some success in helping people that are with fertility problems.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's if you chart your fertility and, I am a fertility care practitioner, so I also work with medical consultants. And they are trained in what is called NAVPRO technology, which is natural procreative technology. So they can actually figure out what's causing the infertility and then use natural methods that work cooperatively with your body to help you get pregnant. And, you know, with working with the doctors, we have, working with NAVPRO technology and charting, it's an 80% increase in being able to achieve a pregnancy, whereas, you know, artificial insemination or IVF, it's only about a 50% success rate.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very successful, yes, in achieving as well.
Which, for many people, that's a real blessing that have had trouble conceiving. It's a real blessing.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. And, you know, some of the clients that come to me with infertility, you know, they're like, why didn't anybody tell us that, you know, all maybe I needed was a little bit of progesterone in, you know, the second half of my cycles to help me either, A, not have severe PMS symptoms or to maintain a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Some had suffered from miscarriages and all they needed was, you know, the progesterone was a little low, so they just needed a little bit to be able to maintain the pregnancy. And, you know, doctors don't even look into that as a simple fix to helping them be successful. So sometimes it's so simple and they're like, it was so simple. Why didn't anybody tell us this before? It could have saved us, you know, because some of them have multiple miscarriages, so it could have saved them from some other, suffering that they had.
So what are the toughest questions you get with NFP?
The toughest questions would probably be, I think most of it, the couples have a hard time with maybe the abstinence that's required during the small fertility window that each woman has in her cycle. For some reason, people think, you know, that's just, you know, that they're going to die if, you know, they have to abstain during the time that they're fertile. And so a lot of, you know, so I think that's probably the toughest part, because sometimes they want to then use during that time, some of the other contraceptions kind of, you know, render the act sterile during or after or before, as opposed to just abstaining. So that, you know, sometimes helping them out and working through the benefits of, I think a lot of our culture and our society teaches us that is like the way to show love and affection. And they don't realize that actually abstinence is a very profound act of love. That, you know, we're all called to at certain times in our relationships. You know, after having a baby, you know, you have to abstain for 6 to 8 weeks. If you're deployed or if you're sick, I mean, there's so many different reasons. And it can really be a profound act of love. And when you're able to do that, when, you know, you look, it teaches you to look beyond just the body. You look at the inner soul of the person. You learn how to show love in other ways. And so what we teach is also called SPICE. And it's to help the couples remember that love is also spiritual, physical, yes, but, you know, it can be massages and cuddling and holding hands, but it's also intellectual, creative, or communicative and emotional. So when you're looking at the whole person, you're developing good habits and how to show this love all throughout, you know, the woman's cycle. And so in the times that you do have to abstain, which usually is no more than 5 to 7 days in each month, you're showing those other ways, and it really does have a positive effect in bonding the married couple. And so couples that use any form of NFP, their divorce rate is less than 5%, because they're really learning how to love, you know, each other wholly and totally, and not just, you know, the physical body as a thing to be used. So it creates really healthy and there's also like a honeymoon effect. You know, when you have to abstain maybe for those 7 days and you can come back to it, you know, that passion and those sparks are kind of reunited. So it's, you know, again, that just is another healthy way of bonding the couple together.
So you have some NFP workshops coming up?
Yes. So I think, you know, we do have a lot of wonderful certified instructors throughout the diocese, and they're listed on the website. But it still was hard for couples going through marriage prep. I still kind of heard that it was hard to find instructors that are, you know, because, I mean, our diocese is big, so to find a instructor that was close to them or taught, was able to teach them virtually, was still kind of hard in their marriage prep process, and even married couples as well. They, right. You know, finding an instructor wasn't that even that, you know, even though we have a lot of amazing instructors, we still don't have enough. So in the meantime, I mean, our hope is to offer trainings to get more people certified to teach it. But in the meantime, we're offering these workshops once a month, but it switches between Spanish and English every other month. So the even months are in English and the odd months are in Spanish. And we're doing, yeah, the intro course so that engaged couples can meet the requirement, but married couples as well, they can really learn more information and get a good look at what it all entails to chart, what it looks like, you know, on a chart, to chart your cycles, and then how it helps, you know, different, how we can look at the chart and see the signs and indicators of, you know, things that could possibly be wrong that we need to refer them on to a medical consultant or a doctor to diagnose. So we're doing it once a month virtually, and that way, and then really it is, it's just that introductory session where then couples at that point can pray about it and discern and see if it's something they want to, you know, continue on in. And then from there you would have to do more follow-ups. But, you know, they either would work with me or they could work, I can connect them with one of our other instructors, depending on where they're located.
And how do they sign up?
It's actually very easy. you just go to our website, and you can go under the events tab, and it has, you know, the NFP introductory course, and you click on the link, but it's also under, like, the marriage prep information or the NFP page on our website. And it brings up the form for them to sign up, and it has a drop-down menu of what date, and it tells you what language it in, so they can see what date they want, and then they sign up, and it's $30, and they pay. And then once we get closer to the date and I see everybody that's registered about a week out, I send out the Zoom link for them all to participate, because it does ask for their email. And
very
that's
good.
How they sign up. Yeah.
And scd.org is the diocesan website.
Yes.
Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org. Also, you have some Respect Life gatherings coming up.
Yes. In October, we do have some Respect Life gatherings coming up. And we are, instead of doing one big gathering, since we are a new team, Moises and I, to the diocese, we thought it would be better to kind of break it up by area and kind of get to know the people in smaller groups, and, you know, and hear from them before we do, like, the big annual gathering. So we do on October 14th. It will be in the Woodland area. I believe it's Holy Rosary.
It is. Holy Rosary is the parish there.
Yeah, Holy Rosary. And it's in the evening, so that will be the first one.
Okay.
And then we're also having one on the 22nd, which is in the at St. Joseph's in the Auburn area.
Right.
Also in the evening. And then on the 23rd, it will be in the morning, and it's going to be in the Chico area, although I don't know if we have a parish yet. Moises has been out sick all week, so
okay.
I'm not sure if the location is secured yet, but we will definitely post it when it is secured. And that one will be in the morning, and they're about 2 hours each. And that way people can get there depending on where they live, and we can get to know them on a personal level and hear from them and kind of, you know, what they would like to, you know, also how we can support them. So their ideas and comments and how we can support them in their ministry.
you mentioned the Gabriel Project, which is yes. not new to the diocese, but it's new as a official diocesan program.
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us a little bit about that. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful program.
Yes, I do too. So when I, first applied, I didn't know that it was going to kind of be one of my main duties, but I'm absolutely thrilled that it is, because I've learned even more about it since coming on board. My home parish has a very active Gabriel Project, uh-huh. but to hear, how it really all comes together and how it works, I just thought, oh my God, goodness, it's such a blessing for me to be a part of it. So the Gabriel Project is a parish-based ministry where there is a 1-800 number. So if you are a parish with the Gabriel Project, you put what we call a sign of hope out by your church, and it has the 1-800 number. So, and it's also on our website as well. So the moms call the 1-800 number, and they kind of give us some basic information, and then there's an operator that connects them to the closest parish with the Gabriel Project. And then those, we call them angels, reach out to this mom, and they walk with her during her pregnancy, but they also even help moms with, newborns and young toddlers as well, and support them in whatever they may need. I mean, sometimes it's just simple diapers. Sometimes they need some of the big-ticket items like cribs or strollers. Sometimes they, maybe need some financial support with, gas or rent for a month. If they're being, relocated. So the ministry at that parish gets to decide, and it depends on who they have as volunteers and how they're able to help them. They kind of get to decide how they help them to, considering what they're capable of among the volunteers there. So it really can vary from parish to parish depending on who's involved. But the main idea is just to walk with the woman, during her pregnancy, so that she doesn't feel like she's all alone or that she can't, carry the baby full term, because it's going to be a hardship. So they really want them to feel like they're supported and that she can do it.
Yeah. Well, I interviewed a few people from the Gabriel Project a couple months ago, and not that I didn't know about it before, but boy, the level of dedication, the level of compassion, the level of caring among the volunteers of the Gabriel Project is, and really the amount of time they put in is really impressive.
Yeah, and one of the stories I heard in, getting to know the coordinators of it too, that, was just really amazing, is a lot of them are Respect Life. Already involved in Respect Life.
Right.
And so they're the ones that go and pray outside of, the abortion centers. And so now not only, if a mom, they get a mom to not go through with abortion, they can also be like, okay, and now we're going to help you through this pregnancy. Like, you already made that great decision of not having your abortion, and now we're going to walk with you and really support you during your pregnancy. So I just thought that connection was amazing.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of good people helping people. And the thing that has always made me so proud to be Catholic is that that's just part of our DNA, if you will. Whether it's in the pro-life area or immigration, helping resettle people, visiting people in prison, feeding the hungry. It was Matthew 25 all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think it's really just, we're called to just see the dignity in every single person, no matter, if they're poor or homeless or sick or dying, they still deserve our love and our care. And it is, when you think about that being our ultimate, what we're supposed to do as witnesses and disciples, it just makes me so proud to be Catholic and to be able to call myself Catholic.
I remember my dad and mom telling me, it may be hard to do, but you should assume that every person you're encountering is Jesus Christ Himself.
Yeah.
That's a showstopper sometimes.
Yes.
You go, wow, this person who kind of harassing me maybe, or bothering me, or actually causing me grief, is made in the image and likeness of God and is one of God's children, you know. And I think one of the hardest things Jesus ever asked us to do was to love our enemies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's so easy to love the people that are nice to you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're out to dinner with your friends and everybody says, oh, he's such a nice guy or she's such a nice woman, you know. But
yeah.
You know, when people are on, the, I don't know, afflict you in some way or other, it's a lot easier to say, well, I don't need to love them. I don't need to care about them. But indeed, that's what Jesus tells us to do.
Exactly. And, you know, to kind of make a full circle back to theology of the body, I think that's one of the reasons why that message just cuts so deep with the young people is because a lot of the times they have a hard time loving themselves.
Right.
And so that commandment to love others, you know, as you love yourself or as I have loved you, doesn't really make sense to them. And so teaching them to see their own dignity and the love that they deserve, it really does, you know, help them to, you know, up those standards and then be able to show that love and see that dignity in others. A lot of times they have to see it in themselves, especially at their age, you know, because they're so self-conscious and second-guessing everything. And so when they see that no matter what they look like or, you know, who they are, if they're popular or not popular, they still deserve the same love and dignity and treatment as everybody else. And so, you know, in my youth group, because I'm also a youth minister at my parish, it's amazing to see. I mean, we have a bunch of wacky teenagers that probably would not be friends if it wasn't for the youth group. But, you know, and there's sometimes some come and they're young and they're like, can we kick them out of the youth group? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. And then you see how they learn to love these people with all their quirks and differences. And, yeah, maybe they're kind of annoy you and bug you, but they really learn how to love them regardless. So it is really a beautiful thing. And why theology of the body is such a beautiful message that can, you know, go through all different ministries.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, Andrea, it's always a joy to talk with you and learn about all the great stuff you're doing here in the Diocese of Sacramento. I look forward to the next time you're on this program. Maybe the pandemic will be in behind us and we can do it in person.
Yes, I know. Well, and I'm only there a few days a week, so, but I would always love to, yeah, I could always change my work days and come in there in person as well. But, yes, it would be fun to be there in person, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And, yeah, anytime, I love being on the show, so, yeah, anytime, ask me, and I will be a guest.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for all the great work you do.
Yes, of course, and you too.
God bless you and your family, Andrea. Take care. That's Andrea Arevalo, who is the coordinator of marriage and family life here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand. And last Sunday, Bishop Wiegand and I, we both attended the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home Dinner at Armand's Palace in Elk Grove, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event, and I got to talk with Bishop Wiegand, who's done such wonder, Bishop Emeritus Wiegand, of course, Bishop Soto is our bishop, and just really continues to do wonderful work here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Brian Powers from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Brian, good to hear your voice again.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for having me.
The last time you were in this studio, you were drawing a, the good news was you were drawing a ticket for the Hawaii trip, which was a raffle ticket from the annual dinner for the poor, which was virtual this year. The bad news is that you didn't pull my name out of the barrel.
Well, I think it's worse than that, Bob. I didn't. I didn't pull any names, but my name was not pulled either.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think Joe actually pulled the names. Is that right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Joe Elves. Yeah, the president. And yeah, well, we'll have to sit Joe down and have a talk with him.
Maybe next year.
But what a wonderful, you know, that's always a great prize at that dinner. And, of course, the dinner was virtual this year. But I've already been told, been promised that it's going to be bigger and better next year.
Well, we're hoping that we can start doing everything in person now. It's a tough situation, but hopefully it will work out. But, they did well. I believe they raised pretty much as much money as they usually do, and that was a great thing.
Well, it's interesting because I think a number of fundraisers have figured that out too. That, gee, last year we had to rent a big hall, we had to pay for 500 dinners, we had to, and this year we didn't have any of those expenses, and still a lot of people participated.
That's true, and that's really the kindness and charity of people who continue to help out.
It really is. It really is, and this diocese I think we're world famous for that. Very, very generous people in the Diocese of Sacramento. So the Walk for the Poor.
Yes. I don't know how much background you want, but first of all, let's just talk about when and where.
Yes.
It's for our conference, which is associated with our parish at Holy Spirit and Land Park.
Mm-hmm.
Our Walk for the Poor will be Saturday, September 25th.
Right.
We're going to gather in the parking lot at the church starting at about 8:30. We're hoping to have maybe some donuts and coffee to get people fortified for the walk. Then our pastor, Father Michael Hebda, will lead us in prayer before we start. And I understand that Father Michael Kiernan, who's the chaplain, I believe, for the Diocesan Council of St. Vincent de Paul, also will be there to lead us in prayer. And then about 9 o'clock, we're going to start a walk. This is actually advertised as the Friends of the Poor walk/run.
Oh, wow.
We're going to be walking. But we're going to walk along Land Park Drive down to the pond in the park and then back. It's about 1 mile round trip. So
down to William Land Park?
I'm sorry?
Down to William Land Park?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's an easy walk. The great thing about it is that it's a fundraiser. The Friends of the Poor is actually a program of St. Vincent de Paul USA. And the objective of the Friends of the Poor is to raise money from the general public for direct services to poor across the country. So this is a nationwide effort, but the great thing about it is that the money that we raise through donations, all of it will go directly to the special program that we operate in our Holy Spirit Conference, and that special program is called the Transition to Permanent Housing Solution. That's kind of a mouthful, but we shorten it to TPHS, but the program is designed basically to either keep people in homes when they've received notices of eviction or get homeless people into housing. And the people that we serve are people who generally have had some short-term financial problems and have gotten themselves into that situation. And so we can talk more about the program, but that's what basically what the program does, and that's where the money from the Friends of the Poor Walk Run is going to go this year. We set a target of $2,500, and as of today, we've raised a little bit more than $3,000.
Oh, wow.
So we're benefiting from that generosity you were talking about, Bob.
Time to set a new target.
I guess we should, yeah. Maybe we should set it much higher. I don't know.
Raise the bar. Let's go for 10. Yeah, that's wonderful. So, is this a program that's unique to Holy Spirit?
Yes, it is. It started actually with a suggestion from our president, Dot O'Connor, in the late summer of 2018. She learned that the Friends of the Poor program was offering grants to conferences in the western region of the National St. Vincent de Paul, but it was designed to try to stimulate some programs that were different in addition to what we generally do as conferences. So usually what we're doing with people is helping them with utilities when SMUD or PG&E has sent them a notice that they're going to shut their utility service off because they haven't been able to pay. We have a program where we provide beds to people. It's really surprising and saddening how many people we come across who don't even have any beds for themselves or their kids. So through the assistance of the thrift store, we do that. We provide food cards, gift cards, so people can get food and necessities at places like Target, and also some gift cards so people can buy things at the thrift store out off of Watt Avenue. So that's generally what we do, but in the course of doing that, we would run across people who had gotten eviction notices and maybe needed a month's rent or 2 months' rent, or people who were homeless who had found housing but needed the first month's rent or the first month's rent and the security deposit to be able to get in. But we didn't. We don't have the resources as a conference to be able to do that. So when Dot found that this grant was being offered, we talked it over and thought, well, maybe what we can do is start a program, if we can get enough money, and help these people that we're coming across who need that kind of help to be able to stay in their homes or get into homes. So we got the grant, the initial grant, and that's how we started the program, which essentially started at the beginning of 2019. And since then, we have gotten money from other grants, also from conference fundraisers like this one, but we've done other fundraisers, and then private donations as well. And as you said, people are very generous. So over the course of the period of time that we have operated this special program with fundraising and the grants and the donations, we've been able to help 78 people in 41 families, and it's really been a great blessing to us as we call ourselves Vincentians. As Vincentians, we feel that the blessing really is to us,
right,
to be able to help these people. And, you know, we come across folks who just have found themselves in difficult circumstances, usually on a temporary basis, and, you know, we've been very lucky to be able to help them. So that's what the program is about.
So give us, if you would, run not a hypothetical, because these are real people and real families, but a sort of a composite of someone that you have helped and how they found you, how you found them, what their needs were, and how you were able to meet maybe some of them, maybe all of them, but enough to keep them in there. Explain how that all works.
Sure. First of all, one of the hallmarks of St. Vincent de Paul is the home visit. It is what we are really required to do, mm-hmm, when we contact people or are contacted by people who need help. We are really required to visit them in person.
Right.
And the reason for that is it's to have a personal connection to people. We're not just giving away money. We're
right,
trying to establish personal connections with people. And it also, you know, we feel helps in a dignified way for people to meet us so that they see a face, right? Now, unfortunately, since COVID came into all of our lives, we've had to stop doing the home visits.
Right.
And, you know, we're still mostly doing things on the phone because of COVID. We have not been given the green light by the national organization to go back to do home visits, so we're going to hope we can start doing that again soon. But so that's the first thing. As far as how people find us, you know, just by virtue of doing the work over the past several years in Land Park and then beyond that, people learn about us. So we have a dedicated phone for the conference, and we now have a dedicated phone for our TPHS program. So generally, it's a phone call from somebody who says, you know, I heard about you from a neighbor. If they're housed or if they're homeless, I heard about you from some other organization, and here's what I need. And so in addition to finding out and verifying the need that they have, we try very hard to establish that there's at least a reasonable probability that if we help them on this one occasion, they're going to have the means to be able to continue to stay in their home.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we want to use our resources wisely, and it's another principle of St. Vincent de Paul that we do not want people to become dependent on us.
Right.
We want people to become self-sufficient. So we try hard to do that, and I can talk in a minute about, you know, one way that we've tried to establish that. But to give you a really good example, about 2 years ago, we got a call from a lady who was homeless. She had a 7-year-old daughter. She was sometimes couch surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was summertime, they were sometimes spending the night behind one of the fast food places, mm-hmm, here in the South area. And the problem that she had was that she actually had a job and had the means to pretty much get into an apartment for her and her daughter, but she had a past eviction,
mm-hmm,
that was on her credit history. And
wow.
So as soon as a potential landlord or manager sees that,
right,
they won't even take an application, or if they have the application, it gets thrown out.
Right.
And she just didn't have enough money to pay off the debt that she owed that was on the credit report, plus the security deposit, plus the first month's rent. I mean, that's a great story. I love to tell this story because I called the credit agency and got on the phone a very nice lady who was actually then out of Georgia, but actually had at one time lived in Northern California, so she was familiar with the area.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically guaranteed me that if we could help this lady pay off this debt, it would be removed from the credit history within a day or two.
Wow.
And it was. So we paid, we didn't have to pay all of the debt amount that she owed, but most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Once that was paid, it came off of her credit history, and she's a resourceful, hardworking lady, and within I think within 30 days, she and her daughter were in an apartment.
Wow.
Now, this story really continues to resonate with us because, and this is sort of how I think charity should work and does work. She, as I said, she has a job. She has stayed in her apartment. We have continued to stay in contact with her. Her daughter is in school. Her daughter's doing quite well. But one of our members who had, and actually we had met this lady in a park because she was homeless. Mm-hmm. We first met her in a park down here in the Greenhaven area. So one of the members that was with me who met her that day was telling her hairdresser this story. Her hairdresser said, well, and this was a little bit later on, her hairdresser said, you know what, I would like to buy some Christmas presents for this lady and her daughter. So, you know, we keep phone numbers and addresses, so we contacted the lady and made the arrangements for this and bought a couple things ourselves and met with her just before Christmas. This would have been in 2019, at her apartment, you know, before it was before COVID, so we could go in, and she's just a delightful person. And we've done that. We did it again in 2020, and I kind of think we'll probably do it again this year, too, although we may not be able to do a personal visit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one example. And this lady is really the model of self-sufficiency, because since then she has continued to work. She pays her rent. She's raising her daughter. She's totally dedicated to her daughter. And so this is the story. We kind of tell this once in a while when we were out and about, and you know, it's just great. And you know, some of the other stories that we have, you know, more typically, we'll get a call from somebody. I've had you know, we've had a lady who called who had a daycare business in her home.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rental home, and this was early in COVID, and because of COVID, she lost some clients.
So,
you know, she was in a temporary fix where she couldn't pay the rent. So we paid the rent for her. And she had told us that, you know, she already had begun establishing some clients again and would be able to get her income back. So that's part of it where we try hard to, you know, determine that people can stay in their homes after we've helped them. In January this year, I did a little informal survey. It's the only way we can do it. But I picked August, the period of August of 2019 to August of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, we had helped 18 families.
Wow.
So I got on the phone and called around, and I was only able to actually establish contact with 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But all 9 of those families were still in the homes that we had helped them either to stay in or get in.
That's great.
The other people, either I left voicemail messages and they didn't call me back, or their phones were disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we're not going to be successful 100% of the time.
Sure.
But we felt that was a pretty good track record because we assume that some of the people that didn't call back are still in their places. So, you know, we think we've taken care of the resources well, but the idea is to help people.
Well, and it seems to me, Brian, just to hear you tell those stories, that obviously the immediate fix, the immediate help is to get them over that hurdle, that to pay the rent, or, you know, call the credit bureau, pay the credit card, that sort of thing. But what sustains them, I'm sure, is knowing that somebody out there really cared about them.
That is something that we do recognize, and that I mean, I don't know that literally people say that, but when we were able to meet with people in person, we definitely would get that feeling that,
yep,
you know, they,
yep,
were. And let me tell you one more story.
Yeah.
This is another one that really warms my heart. I got a call from a lady who said her brother, who has some mental problems. I never really explored what they were, but he's also illiterate. But he had a job. He was working at a supermarket downtown, but living out of his car, and he'd been living out of his car for several months. He had found a place to live downtown, and it's one of the places that we have worked with in the past, so I knew it was a solid place. So we were able to pay the first month's rent and the security deposit, which it's a low-income facility, so it wasn't a huge amount of money. It's actually a fairly modest amount of money. But so we weren't able to meet with either him or his sister or family because of COVID. But I do, you know, we always go down. We don't give money to the people that we serve. You know, I literally will go to the manager's office and write the check and get a receipt. So I did that. And I came home and called the sister and said, you know, okay, it's all paid up. He's ready to go. He can move in today. And the sincere gratitude that she expressed was kind of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like somebody cares.
Somebody cares.
And I haven't followed up on that particular client so far, but I feel pretty good that because he had a job, and I mean, he was within walking distance of his job in this place. So, you know, these are the kinds of stories that we're hearing and participating in. And, you know, again, it's one of the things that, I mean, I got started in St. Vincent de Paul because I was at the end of my career. Was looking for some things to do, by way of doing some volunteer work, and I knew some people in our parish in St. Vincent de Paul. I did not ever expect to feel the blessing personally, you know, in such a direct way. But I think if you talk to anybody in our conference, they'll all say the same thing. And that's not to say we don't feel like once in a while we get taken, you know.
It's going to happen. But I think, you know, when somebody gets help like that and is sincerely thankful, I think it is motivation for them to succeed, you know, to go out and say, gee, the world's not a bad place. I thought it was a bad place, and it's not such a bad place. I'm gonna go prove myself.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. And a couple of those, two of those examples, or maybe all of those examples, I think are examples of people who, you know, they're not looking to take advantage of somebody. They're looking to get help to bridge the gap so that they can sustain themselves and their families.
Yeah. Brian, again, the walk for the poor for Holy Spirit Parish for your conference, Saturday the 25th. At Holy Spirit, right there on Land Park Drive, about 8:30 in the morning. And in addition to being a great walk, it's a beautiful walk.
Yes, it is. It's lovely in along Land Park Drive and all the way down to Land Park. So yeah, it's a good.
All those beautiful sycamore trees and yeah.
Yep. And keep in mind for those in your audience who maybe live outside of our parish or outside of Sacramento. There are other parishes who will be participating in the walk.
Right.
St. Catherine Drexel in Jackson.
Right.
St. Vincent Ferrer in Vallejo. Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento.
Right.
And as a little commercial, if anybody is moved to give us a donation, they can do that one of two ways. Google Friends of the Poor Walk 2021, and it will take them to a website, the main website, where you can just click on the drop down for California.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've done that, you can scroll down and you'll find Team TPHS Holy Spirit Conference, and then it's pretty easy to figure out how to make a donation using a credit card. Or they can go to the Holy Spirit Parish website. There is a blurb there on our walk and a link to this same website. So anybody wants to do that, maybe we can get above the $3,050 that we're at right now.
Very good. Very good. Brian, a joy to talk with you. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for all the conference does. And hopefully our paths cross again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me and letting me talk about the walk. Take care, Bob. God bless you.
God bless you, too, Brian. Thanks so much. That was Brian Powers from the St. Vincent de Paul Conference at Holy Spirit Parish. Again, 8:30 Saturday morning, and they'd welcome you to walk with them. They'll even give you a donut and a coffee. So it's a good deal all the way around. That's a Saturday the 25th. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in health care, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, this is Brian Visitation, Director of Media and Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? But I see this life, its valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you.